access all areas. Step into the Breakfast Club Summer Sanctum.
21-8 on a Thursday morning. Great to have Chris Golding with us from Melbourne United. What a week they had in the build-up to the last home and away round of the NBL. Had to win both games to get a spot in the finals, and they did it on the back of great leadership by Airman CG43. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's awesome to have him in, isn't it?
It is. We love this stuff. We love when he's in the studio talking some hoops with us, and particularly after the week that you had. What a performance. We had the coach in, was it last Monday?
Last Tuesday.
Tuesday. Talking about the requirements, what had to happen, and how it was all going to unfold. Mm. Cairns was always going to be tough.
Huge.
And you nailed them to the wall really early. And then Phoenix to finish off on Sunday. Were you confident going into the weekend that you could get both done? Because it had been pretty scratchy form up until that point.
Yeah, I was confident. After that game we lost to Brisbane, it was like, oh, well, we need to win three in a row, and then we need other results to go in our favour. From that moment, I was like, I feel like we'll get the three in a row. I'm not worried about that. Maybe I should have been. But it was more the other results. So Brisbane, that following round, lost two games, which put us back in the box seat. And we're sitting here going, hang on, we're in a better spot than before. It's all on us. So from that point in time, I was pretty confident that we'd get the job done.
It was a big effort, because I reckon when you've got... And I don't know how the theme was inside the walls, but you have this, every game's a final from now on in. Now you're in the finals, and carrying that momentum and that intensity through can sometimes be difficult. Is that a danger going into this series against the Kings?
Well, it's difficult in the fact that we have a two-week break now.
Yeah.
So myself, after that game, I'm thinking, let's just roll to Sydney. Let's play on a Wednesday. Let's get this thing going, because the style of basketball we'd been playing was really good, and I think that's the way we have to play if we want to be successful against the Kings.
Do you feel that's what the team needed? Because you've been up and down really throughout the whole year, and you're flat until that period of time when it was must win. Do you feel it's what the team needed, just that bit of an edge to the game you guys seemed to play with over those last couple of games?
Yeah, and that's been when we've played our best basketball as well. Earlier in the season, we come back from the NBA trip. You know, we're in a hole at 2-5 or whatever we were. And it's like, hang on, if you don't reel off some games now, you know, playoffs aren't even going to be in the picture.
Yep.
And we go, bang, 6-game winning streak.
It's like the best team in the comp again.
Yeah. And, you know, then later it happens again. We lose a couple games and it's like, we need to make something happen. We go to Perth, beat them by 25 in arguably the hardest trip in the NBL. So at times when our back's been against the wall and everything's to play for, we've been really, really good. So hopefully the playoffs takes that to another level.
What do you do in the environment you're in at the moment? Because you've clearly been outstanding, particularly the last two games, almost getting your team going. Is this something you think about, say, right, you know, I'm the man and you're going to come with me? Or do you do the same process before every game and it just, you know, like all the cliches that they talk about?
Yeah. The process through the week remains the same in regards to how I prepare myself. Mindset is a thing that I think's probably changed a little bit with me. And oftentimes, you know, we've got young guys that haven't, apart from like college or in the lower levels, haven't played in big games or games that matter in regards to, are we going to get a home final? Are we going to get into the finals or anything like that? So for me, and I think Barlow was probably the same, guys that have been there, it's like, hang on, let's be aggressive. Let's attack this game, because the worst way you can approach a game like that is, we'll see how the other team goes and see how the game plays out. It's like, no, they're coming to cut our throats. We got to do the same. So let's go out there, take control from the start and try and get this win.
So is that shooting for you or is that defending? Because I do love my basketball, but
Rammer thinks he could be a good 13th or 14th.
I'd love to sit on the end of the bench. But you're defending again. It seemed to pick up in those last games. Particularly, I was there on Sunday. I think you had 3 or 4 steals in the first quarter yourself.
Yeah. Just overall, like, if we... So we're not the best defensive team in the league. We haven't been put together to be the best defensive team in the league. But if we can be serviceable and do what needs to be done, it allows us to go the other way and be really good, which is where all our talents are. So I think for me, just being able to not so much be a rock, but be someone that the guys can depend on, as opposed to getting blown by and letting layups and just worry about shooting threes down the other end. If we can all be dependable defenders, that's so much better for us going the other way.
How much pressure has it taken off Mallow Trimble going to the bench and playing that role now?
Yeah, I would imagine...
Do you speak to him about that?
We spoke leading up to when he got moved to the bench. And to his credit, his mindset has been amazing. You know, oftentimes, especially a young kid, you could be like, oh, you know, I'm being demoted. This isn't right. But we just wanted to free him up. We wanted to let him be himself and utilize his world-class talents that he has on the offensive end. So, you know, you're not worrying about me wanting a shot. You're not worrying about McCarron needing a shot, Barlow. It's just like, hey, for these minutes that you're out here, you go and do what you are the best in the league at, which is use an on-ball, put the ball in the hole, and get us going offensively. And I think we've just been smart about how to find each and individual person, what they do best, how to put them in an environment to let them do that.
Mitch McCarron seems to have played a pretty big part in the renaissance of the team as well. That starting position for him now, and you're talking about pieces of the puzzle coming together for the system you're running. He's been unbelievable.
He has, and he felt a little, not so much helpless, but he felt a little hamstrung in the way that we were playing before, because he's not a guy that's going to go out and just get the ball and shoot and put on 10 points in a row.
Yeah.
He has the capability to do that, but that's not his natural game. He wants to have his finger in every pie. He wants to do a little bit of this. He wants to get a steal. He wants to set someone up, get a layup. And for him now being the starting point guard, the ball's starting with him. Every possession, he can get it off the rim. He can push it. And then it's on other guys, myself, Mello, Sean, Barlow, to finish off the plays, which I think is the perfect role for him. And he wants to transition into a point guard full time. So what better time to do it than in playoff time?
Absolutely. Chris Golding with us from Melbourne United. Got the Sydney Kings in next Saturday. I think it kicks off. Three-game series.
Saturday night in Sydney.
Kudos Bank Arena. We had Andrew on the program yesterday or the day before. Anyway, I can't remember.
Andrew
Bogut.
Yeah, the big man.
The big man.
You heard of Andrew?
I've heard of Andrew Bogut. I didn't know he was a one-name guy already.
He's Andrew. Did I not say Bogut the first time?
No.
Well, half's on first-name basis. That's tight.
I'll hang out with Deke yesterday and a lot of mates sort of stuff. Anyway, Andrew was in our program yesterday, and he was talking about some unrest within your club. I want you to listen to this. I think he's talking some smack. But let's have a listen to Andrew Bogut, or as we like to call him around here, Andrew, from the Sydney Kings yesterday.
At times, they haven't put it together on the court. We hear a few locker room issues and a few issues with a couple of their players going at each other. So that's what we hear from the great mind of people within the organisation. So it's always a good thing to hear.
It was Tuesday morning. Is there some concern in the locker room of Melbourne United? Or are they just thinking they need to believe stuff to try and get the upper hand early in this series?
Well, I think that's generally been the case up there. So I think Andrew just doesn't have that to talk about in his locker room in previous years. From all accounts, this year they're much, much better than they have been in previous years. And you credit that to just having a group of veteran players that have just put everything aside and go, hey, you know what's important here is winning. So that is a massive reason why the Kings are so good this year. But for us, not so much in regards to guys disliking each other, but it's just taken a long time for us to figure out how to get the best out of each other and how to play together. So that is probably what he's touching on. Probably also he likes to start a little something. I remember we played in the World Cup in China and he was like, oh, I can't wait. I'm going to start talking to everyone. I'm going to start talking to Sean. I'm going to talk to these guys. I'm going to make it, you know, like just trying to throw a little something in there just to get us disjointed.
Little hand grenades.
Yeah, hand grenades. So that'd be a little bit of that as well. Well done, Andrew Bogut.
12 to 8. So we'll get to a break. He's going to hang around CJ43 because we've got heaps to talk about. Not only a great final series coming up for Melbourne United, but some unbelievable numbers released overnight from the NBL's perspective. The Boomers are in action tonight in Queensland, in Brisbane, as part of their...
it's like Australia A in cricket.
Yeah, it's a little bit Australia A. The top four NBL teams have no representation. The internationals aren't here, so it's a different looking Boomers lineup taking on New Zealand, but we'll talk about that as well. CG43 in the studio on The Breakfast Club. Great to have Chris Golding in the Sanctum with us this morning. Next Saturday, they kick off their three-game series against the Kings, Melbourne United, in the NBL final series on the road. A home court advantage going with the Kings, who have been the best team in the NBL for the entire season, and we'll take some beating, but we've got some time to get our heads around that. I want to bring up some numbers that were released overnight, Chris, with you from the National Basketball League. They have registered a growth of 21% in attendance. That is a remarkable number. 20% of any number is a remarkable number. But from a fan base, from an attendance perspective, and a really congested market through the summer period, that is unbelievable. Are you noticing that when you're travelling around the country, let alone selling out arenas here in Melbourne?
Yeah, so there's two main markets, and they're in New South Wales. So the Illawarra in Wollongong, yep. Because of LaMelo Ball. You noticed on, you know, Monday or Thursday nights, you're getting much bigger crowds than you used to, even when he wasn't playing. So that's massive. And Sydney, you know, we spoke about them being as good as they are and being on top of the ladder from start to finish for the regular season. That breeds crowd numbers, especially in the Sydney market. You know, if you're not winning, you don't often get a lot of eyes. So I think that, yeah, it says there a 17,500 game is pretty impressive in the NBL.
Well, I mean, to put into context, there was a time there was no Sydney Kings.
Yeah.
So where that's come from,
good point.
In a fairly short period of time, whether it's, you know, Andrew Bogut or, as you said, it's just them winning all the time, that's enormous for the sport.
Yeah, and, you know, so often we don't see this in the AFL because teams are have just been teams for 75, 80, 100, however many years it is. And when we lose teams for a period of 5 to 10 years or however long it is, you know, fans, we need fans to be generational, and we need fathers to pass it down to their kids and then so on and so on. And when you lose that for 5 or 10 years at a time, you lose a whole generation of fans. So to now see this, and see the numbers going up, it's great. And that's what we've always spoke about with Melbourne United and all the disjointed Melbourne fans. Now we've got two solid platforms for these kids and people to follow. We need them to be generational fans going forward for the next sort of 50 years.
Who did you barrack for growing up?
Well, I lived in Brisbane, so I'd always go to Brisbane games, but I was Sydney Kings.
Leroy Loggins.
Leroy.
I was
Leroy.
A Sydney Kings fan. CJ Bruton, Ebi Arar, when they were in Sydney, I was just like, oh, these are just the coolest dudes. Because so, I was a Lakers fan as well, so the purple and gold resonated with me. But yeah, I was a Kings fan.
So how did you become a North Melbourne supporter if you lived in Brisbane?
Well, that's from my family. Like, my mum grew up in North Melbourne. Right. My old man played a couple games for North Melbourne, and the whole of my mum's side of my family are just North Melbourne as you can get.
And now he played for North,
no,
the old man?
Either.
Yeah, a couple games.
Okay.
A couple
right.
games in like 80, I want to say 82, 83.
Righto.
So
we'll check it out the back. Thank you.
So either that, he's lying to me, and my whole life is a lie, and I'm a free agent.
So the Boomers play New Zealand tonight. You're obviously heavily involved in the Australian program. Once the season finishes, there's still a gap, obviously, up until Tokyo. What are you going to be doing to keep your game sharp there?
Yeah, it's tough because we don't know when we're going to finish. Like, 4 weeks ago, I thought I'd be on whatever it is, Wacky Wednesday already, or Thursday. But now we could go for another month. So hard to sort of tee up anything overseas, and hard to change your mind to want to explore that. But I will, if everything goes to plan, I will go somewhere to play just to, you know, get some experience, stay in shape, because come June, July, you've got to be ready to go to try and impress some people.
How exciting is it, the Olympics? I know you've got a final series coming up now, but just to know what's possible.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, because of the World Cup being so, you know, so close, it was just last year, and then straight into an NBL season, people are, you say, oh, the Tokyo Olympics is in X amount of days. You're used to it being like 1,000 and something days. It's like, hang on, this is this year. This is in a few months' time. It's crazy that it's come around this quick. And whoever gets to be on that team is so lucky because it's going to be massive.
Do you think about it much, or can you not afford to? Because it's a bloody hard team to get into.
Yeah.
I know you've been part of it for a long time, but you've also got a final series.
Yeah, I can't afford to, and I treat it much the same as I've treated all the other major teams I've won. Is like, you prepare yourself to be in the best shape at that time. You don't expect to make the squad first up. So then once the squad call comes in, you're like, oh, hang on, this could be good. So then you go, you prepare as hard as you can, and you go into camp, and you're like, you look around at the players and you're like, look, this probably isn't going to happen. And then if the team selection actually happens, that's when you lose your mind and carry on like a pork chop. Yeah. So that's the way I've gone about it for the past 8 years, and it won't change.
Stephen Ronald Golding played 2 games for the Kangas in 1981. And then, you've sold him a bit short, played 123 games for Claremont, played state footy for WA throughout that time with some great names. Just going through the teams. Some great names. He was bloody good, your old man.
He could play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice work.
I think it was somewhere around the time when the Eagles were coming in.
Yep.
Yeah.
And his lucrative job selling cars at Toyota was just too much to pass up. Eagles weren't a big name at the time. He stayed with Toyota.
Right.
Yeah. Before we go, we got to just sort of ask Chris, are you impressed with Adam Ramanaskis's basketball knowledge? Just the rapport and just the... It's pretty impressive.
It's been impressive for the past few years. It's climbing. It's climbing. I'm expecting like a basketball podcast or something. He wants to launch that next time.
There you go. Well, one thing you can't do is play golf. How's your golf game going?
Well, I haven't been playing. Melbourne United Golf Day is on Monday, so I'm playing in someone's team. Prepare for them to lose. But I played out at Club Mandalay.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
White tees. But I shot an 81.
Good man.
I don't know how it happened.
It's almost getting into half of my territory.
Have to get him out to the Berg.
Yeah,
so cool. I haven't played since then, so I'm expecting triple figures on Monday when I tee it up.
Well, let's make sure Melbourne United put up triple figures against the Kings next Saturday. Because I reckon if you can do that, you'll get the win and start off the NBL Final Series on the right note. Great to see you, mate. Always a pleasure. Good luck next week.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Chris Golding with us from Melbourne United in the NBL.